It's 7:30. This is OTBAM, and like us, you probably haven't slept very much last night. Maybe you got up in the middle of the night. Maybe you stayed up all night. Maybe you didn't go to sleep at all. And you know what? That is perfectly fine this morning, because this doesn't happen too often. We don't have a whole pile of teams that are literally world beaters. We have even fewer moments where we expect Irish teams to be literally world beaters and they go on and actually deliver on all that promise. And for many of you, the only other time in your life where you may have actually properly celebrated a gold medal in the Olympic Games was in 2012, when Katie Taylor won gold. So for many of you, last night, this morning, was only the second time in your life where you got to properly celebrate an Olympic gold medal. July the 29th, 2021 was that moment. Paul O'Donovan, Fintan McCarthy, gold medalist for Ireland on the water in Tokyo. And we will have reaction for you all throughout the morning. We will speak to people close to those rowers, people who have watched this journey over the last 5 years and beyond, as they have become, I think what is fair to say, Adrian Barry, national heroes at this point.
Absolutely class on, wasn't it? I must say. And it's really, the other important thing to say this morning is it's taken the shine off your performance yesterday as well. So that's great. Not many people talking about the fact that you're Joe Canning interview, let's call it, from yesterday. But no, it was phenomenal. I'm sure you were the same as myself last night. I timed my run brilliantly. I was up, got up maybe sort of 3 or 4 minutes before the race started. So it was absolutely ideal. And I really had sort of planned that I'd be get up, watch the race, lads get the business done and sort of head down again. But it didn't really work out like that, because the TV coverage, they were scrolling through every McCarthy from Mick to Larry and everybody in between. And it was great, and it was compelling viewing, and it was brilliant to watch. And it was such an outpouring of love for the two lads. And it's just like Paul O'Donovan now moves himself into fairly rarefied territory in terms of multi medal winning Olympians from an Irish point of view, and just incredibly brilliant stuff at the end of a medal 18 months. It was brilliant to watch.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant moment for everybody who was gathered around our televisions last night, I think it's fair to say. If you are just waking up this morning and you missed it all unfolding live last night, let's have a listen to how George Hamilton called this gold medal for Ireland last night.
World champions in 2019 and a quarter. Green light, off they go. Expect the Germans to start swiftly, and indeed they've done just that in lane four. They were fastest out of the blocks in their semi-final, and this combination of Rommelman on the bow and Jason Osborne, you heard the exceeding. They're home and hosed, they're ahead by a length. It's Ireland from Germany, and history is made on the water in Tokyo as Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan win gold. Gold for Ireland. Gold for Ireland, silver for Germany, and the Italians come home in third place. And that is one more chapter of magnificence from the men from County Cork. Brilliant, sheer brilliant. There's never been an Irish rowing gold before. Gary and Paul O'Donovan won Ireland's first Olympic rowing medal, the silver in Rio. And now Paul, with Fintan McCarthy, has won Ireland's very first gold medal.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then obviously a little while later, the brilliant moment of actually hearing Aaron Naveen, which just, it's something that is the most obvious thing that people talk about when they win gold medals in the Olympics, but you kind of forget that it's actually coming, and you forget that, oh, this is something that we don't experience all too often. And as I said at the top there, Adrian, the only thing that a lot of people will have to compare to this is Taylor 9 years ago, and that's it, really. That's it. There's been, you just have to go way back to find anything that's close to this level of pure joy that you can attach to an Irish sporting moment at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, totally. Well, particularly for athletes who've had no question marks about their performances, right? Like, you can look at it and, these medals are not going to be removed or questioned, let's say. So there's a delight about that. And I think for people waking up on as well, even in terms of, you got a good sense of the race there with the commentary. Like, everybody's very familiar now, particularly with Paul O'Donovan and with Gary previously, with the types of start that they used to make to a race, that they'd be well behind, but had absolute confidence in themselves and proven ability to pull the field back in. And it wasn't really the case last night. They actually made quite a good start to the race, which I was reading quotes from Paul afterwards saying that it almost caught them a little bit by surprise, but they still knew. It wasn't a case that they'd burned themselves up over the first 500 metres. And yes, they were still behind. They were 1 second 40 down on the Germans and Italy after the 500 metre mark, and then started to... It was clear there was some relief from it on. I don't know if you felt it, but it was clear from very early in the race that it was going to be like, look, I was listening to Niall O'Toole on the Olympic show yesterday, and I just thought after listening to him, there's no way we can't win gold here, and that's dangerous territory. Like, it's very dangerous. But it did, that notwithstanding, it did feel at very early in the race, we're guaranteed at least bronze here. It was so obvious because the top three crews had cut adrift from the others. But the Ireland stroke rate went up, the speed went up, it went higher than the Germans at one point. So at that stage, you knew it was just a matter of time before they were going to overhaul them, which they did, I think, on the three-quarter mark, got the canvas ahead, quarter of a second up on Germany. Italy at that point were gone. They finished up, I think it was at 8 seconds or something behind in the end. The German stroke looked shot. He really looked he looked gone, where the two lads were very composed and very very strong right up to the finish. So yeah, just incredible stuff. Brilliant race, really compelling.
The camera angle when they go through each 500 metres completely skews how you're viewing yes. things. So George yeah. Hamilton obviously has more information than we have at home. He obviously can see exactly who's in front of who, or maybe he's just commentated on so many races during these games that he knows exactly how to judge the camera angle. But after 1,500 metres, he was saying, they're still in front, the Irish. And I was like, that is not how that looks on my television. Right. I was like, oh God, what is happening here?
The trick is to keep an eye on those little balls, the little boys in the middle Correct. Of the in the middle of the race, so you can see, because you're absolutely right, it is totally confusing and very hard to get a steer. And even watching, and we should mention Sunita Puspura, obviously, who yeah. went a little bit later on and had a huge disappointment, but even watching that race, I was hoping upon hope, no, I'm looking at the wrong boy here, she must be a bit further up than that. And unfortunately it wasn't the case with her, but yeah. you're right, it is such a confusing sport to watch.
Delighted to say that Mark O'Donovan, world and European champion rower, is with us. Mark, how are you getting on?
Very good, good morning, how are you getting on?
All good. Was there any doubt in your mind watching that last night that it was going to happen?
I was a bit shook there, alright, at some stage just after coming through the 1,000 metres, but I had full belief that they did it, but geez, they left it tight for a while, but they really pulled it out. The confidence out of the two lads is phenomenal, you know. They did an amazing race, and I think they had everyone gripping at the edge of their bed last night. So they put on a show, but I couldn't believe the sprint they had towards the end. We always know that they kind of negative split the race anyway, but like when the Germans were in such close touching distance, you just don't know what would happen.
Like that's exactly it, that it there wasn't enough room for any error whatsoever going home in those 500 meters. Like, did the Germans almost surprise you with how close they were at the end?
Yeah, and I suppose the lads, they did leave that little bit they didn't have any room for error, and thankfully it all went to plan, but it was so tight. I just couldn't believe that they could pull out of 150, 200 metres, pull half a boat length, or just that amount of distance. Like, that's phenomenal power from the two lads, and of course the Germans are going to go out hard to try and get out on top of the Irish and try and sit there, and it really did work, but as like the better crew won, thankfully. So
if we just talk about Paul O'Donovan just for a moment here, have you seen anything new from him? Have you seen a higher level from him over the course of the last few days?
But I suppose they broke a world record there. So like, they're obviously on top form. It's great to see, because after all the years of training, it's very hard to know, does the performance go down, or does things go stale? But it's very clear that the two lads, and of course Paul, is they're both on top form. So yeah, it was great to see.
Like, the story around Fintan is incredible as well, and kind of trying to actually burst through that glass ceiling. And there's a lot of people, like we had Kieran McCarthy on the show yesterday from the Southern Star, saying that he was actually talking to him in a pub in Skibbereen in when the race was happening in Rio in 2016. And it was that moment that kind of crystallised for him that he could achieve something like last night. And there was an almighty battle for the boat. It wasn't just Gary O'Donovan, it was also Fintan's brother Jake, who was going for a place in that boat over the last couple of years as well. So just, could you put it into a little bit of context, how good Fintan McCarthy is, because he's somebody that a lot of people have only become familiar with recently?
I suppose, like Fintan has always been tipping away. He's a phenomenal athlete, great engine, lovely personality, lovely character. But that really shouldn't matter in as it's more about performance. He, over the past few years, basically he's so good he is able to kick a silver medalist out of the boat and a brother, which, you could almost say that there's, you're going to favour your family more than anything, but it is so black and white that he was better than him that he got into the boat. And he was tested many times to get into that, and he came out on trumps. The best man came out on trumps all those times. So hats off to Fintan, because it's highly competitive, that boat, and as we saw last night, they needed the best man to be in the boat, the two best men to be in the boat, because it was such a high demanding race.
What were you thinking, Mark, with that start? Paul spoke a little bit about it afterwards, and it almost caught them by surprise that they were so quick off the blocks. I mean, for them, I know they were still a little bit behind, but what were you thinking at that point? It doesn't seem like there was any concern that they were going to burn themselves out, even though it was a bit quicker than usual for them.
Yeah, even though it was quicker than usual, I suppose just from watching them over the last couple of years, we just know that's the way Paul likes to go out. And I wasn't one bit concerned over the period of the race. It was just when the Germans weren't fading off as quick as most crews usually do, that's what was concerning me.
Yeah. And Paul, now he's 27. We were talking about it a bit earlier on, he's moving into really rarefied air in terms of Irish Olympians and, double medal winner, two different Olympics. What's the future for these guys? What's, in terms of, almost future Olympics, rowing is a sport that does lend itself to, you can be a little bit older and still have that that brute strength.
Yeah, thankfully, rowing is quite easy on the joints, so as long as they don't get any major injuries, there should be nothing to impact their performance over the coming years, because you're not really loaded, there's no impact. And the future is bright. If they want to keep going, it's going to be amazing. And sure, then you've got Gary that will be in the mix also, so I could imagine that would be pushing the performance even up again, because If they go on for Paris, which it's only 3 years away now, it would be highly contested. And also, as you mentioned earlier, Fintan's brother Jake, he will also be fighting for a seat. So it could be a tough couple of years ahead if they wanted to do it. But they're in the right place if they wanted to, and it isn't too far away. So hopefully they do, and it would be great to see them break more records once again.
The McCarthys want to take the boat off the O'Donovans, full stop, is what I'm hearing here, Mark.
Yeah, twins against the brothers, yeah, how bad. Yeah, we'd pay money to see that.
How close? We got an insight into Jake last night on the TV, and you mentioned about personality earlier on, but how close is he then to getting his foot in?
Well, poor Jake there, last year, was it a year ago or so, he got knocked down by a bus in Dublin, so that wasn't great. That really hindered his performance, and the poor man was crippled, he couldn't really stand up for too long, so I'm surprised that he was even able to train there towards the tail end of the year. So that really kind of made him out of the contest for Tokyo. I suppose things being delayed helped him, but it was a little too late for him. So Paris is a little bit more in line of what's actually achievable. So They're phenomenal. So he's a great athlete as well. And like, of course, like Paul helped his brother Gary, Fintan's doing the same with him, you know. They're all tight-knit. Everyone's doing the same training. So let's wait and see.
Mark, sorry, go for it, Adrian.
Sorry, you've been in and around them, obviously, Mark, for a number of years. You know the lads very well. I was listening to Niall O'Toole, I'll be with us shortly, on our Olympic show yesterday, talking about the lads being red-hot favourites, been streets ahead of the rest, and, you know, the levels of confidence out of them. What is it about them that, you know, technically or whatever other way, that makes them so good?
The million-dollar question, eh? I suppose, like, they're just phenomenal athletes. They've got great engines. Probably some, like, you need great physiology to be anywhere in that league. Even getting into an A final, B final, you need great physiology. And then everything else on top is kind of the determining factor. Like, their timing of actual feeling of rowing the boat is phenomenal, you know. I know a lot of people would say a lot of technical coaches around wouldn't like Paul's rowing style, or even Dominic would be giving out to him all the time about this and that, and then Paul would have an argument saying why it's better and why it feels better. And right. Basically, a technical coach, generally, they've always been out of the game for so long, they don't really know. They're giving their insight, but it's more about rowing the feeling of it and actually being in tune with the rhythm and the water and seeing, and then also in sync with each other. So it doesn't care what it looks like as long as it's fast.
So Paul,
what do you mean?
Sorry, I was just going to ask that. I'd say, Adrian, what you're about to ask, those conversations between Paul and Dominic. So Paul is winning those arguments.
Oh yeah, sure. So if you think about generally rowing is quite the prestigious sport, and it always brings you back to kind of Hindley and GB, and GB always have this technical model of being picturesque, and it would be quite. It would be like a dressage with the horses, you know. And so in terms of rowing then, if you bring one of those characteristics over, you'd say the arms from the solar, from the shoulder joint out to the wrist should be a straight line is what the technical coach would always advise. But over the years, people have developed a slight bend in the elbow and also a bend in the wrist, because you can kind of suspend more weight off the handle of the oar more efficiently rather than just purely hanging. You get a better feeling, you're a little bit more connected, you're stronger in your shoulder joint, you're stronger in your arms, and it's less load, even though it doesn't look as graceful or as easy as straight lines, but that's not what the human anatomy is good at doing. You have to do what's right for that, and the two lads are doing it brilliant. And then you can go too much, which will obviously hinder your performance, and you'll start tightening up, and you'll be excessively loading the muscle. But that's just one example.
It's a great example. That's really interesting stuff, Mark. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show this morning. Really appreciate it. And we'll chat to you again soon.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Mark O'Donovan there with a really interesting insight on Paul O'Donovan and a little bit of, I guess, trying to explain to you and I, Adrian, the genius of the man from somebody who knows what he's talking about. OTBAM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Plenty coming up between now and 10 o'clock this morning. Let's have a look. We're going to have Niall O'Toole with us in just a moment to give his reaction to the gold medal for Ireland last night. The sports page is coming your way at 8 o'clock before James Skettle joins us for Thursday morning hurling, where there's a couple of big fixtures at the weekend, and a certain retirement yesterday that we want to chat to James about. Paul O'Connell then, myself and Adrian were chatting to him before we came on air this morning, and that piece will be coming your way around 8:25. There's an Olympics update coming your way at 10-9. Mixed fortunes outside of the gold medal for Ireland this morning. Sunita Pospure, as Adrian mentioned, not managing to qualify for the AA final. And Annalise Murphy is flying this morning, so we should have some clarity on her position at around 10-9 this morning. Celtic are out. They were beaten by Midtjylland last night. OTB's resident Celtic nut Enda Coll will be with us at 9 o'clock before Sue's television picks at 10 past 9 if you want to find some spot in your calendar that doesn't involve the Olympics this weekend. And we're checking in with Ross and Harry Byrne again at 25 past 9 to talk about their the Dublin Simon Run at Home, which is a great charity event that they're involved in. Right, at 7.51 on this Thursday morning, delighted to welcome Niall O'Toole to the show once again. Niall, how are you getting on?
Fantastic. What a night. Amazing.
Have you slept?
Yeah. No, I don't think most of Rowing Ireland haven't slept. And most of anybody involved in rowing will have not slept for the last number of nights. It's been an incredible journey for everybody this week. And yeah, it's been a real ride for us all. So it's glad that it's coming to an end.
Can you try and sum up where your emotions go during those 2,000 metres earlier?
Well, I think we're going to talk about, obviously, the boys. We're going to talk about the boy, and obviously, Sunita, unfortunately. But, I think it's hard. I mean, the Olympic final is it's 7 minutes, and you have, but you built up all of your life for it. And it's very difficult to put out all of that energy in 7 minutes and do it correctly without being overly emotional about it. And the guys are, I just watched the guys being interviewed afterwards, and they have something else running through their veins other than blood. Seemingly, they just are as cool and calm as you can possibly be. They did exactly the same thing they did in every other race before. They started slowly and slowly built momentum through the race. But to do that in an Olympic final, to stay that late, you know, that kind of way, and come through kind of that late. Again, it's nerves of steel stuff. Phenomenal athletes, phenomenal achievements. They were by far the outstanding crew of the championship, and everybody's saying that on all the stations. Everybody's saying how fantastic and they look and how fantastic they row. So yeah, it's an amazing achievement. Clearly, our first rowing gold medal at the Olympics. So it's I can't put into words how chuffed everybody is within Irish rowing. And long may it continue.
It's obviously layer upon layer upon layer that you need to rely on for those 7 minutes. And I'm just interested in the mental layers that are involved there, because as you say, I'm not sure if you're racing and you've got no experience of the other crews or no experience of your own form, there might have been a tendency to perhaps panic with 500 metres to go or with 1,000 metres to go. But that belief, that knowledge of the other crews, that knowledge of their own form against those other crews is probably what gets them over the line in the end.
Totally. I mean, you have an internal game and an external game. And if you're too internal, you're going to be tense, and you're going to be really, really tense, and you're going to overly maybe work that first half of the race and not having anything. And the real problem, I suppose, in especially in those pressure race situations, is to go off script. And if you have a really good race plan that is really working for you, don't try to do what somebody else does poorly. Row to your strengths. And that can be difficult if you're in the Olympic final and you're out of the medals in the first 500 meters and you have to claw your way back through. But it's the self-belief that the boys have a strategy, they have a weight plan, they back themselves, they know they have this, they know they row well, they know they're really efficient in how they row, they know they have massive engines, and they know they let the guys go and they know they're going to track them back. And that it's that self-confidence and really those crosshairs of all of that pressure from the Olympic Games. You know, you talk to the boys, it seems like they were just out for a normal spin. They don't seem, they are all about going from A to B as quickly as you can and forgetting about the consequences of everything. And that's real performance. Relaxed control, focused attention really is the key to optimal performance. And they can just blank out everything else, look down their lane, do their race strategy, deploy it every time the same way, and nobody can live with them. And I think it's on those big days when people try to do something unique that they haven't done before, they make mistakes. But these guys, they know what works for them, and they practice it in training. And more importantly, if you're the Germans in that last 500 meters, you know The boys are gone. It's so who else can we keep behind us? And if you're racing the Irish double, that's what you feel. You know they're going to come through you, and it's all over. So let's just stick in the silver medal position here. And that's what happens when you're the German double and you're dying on your feet and you've nothing else to give, and the boys cruise past you. It's all about the minor medals, and that's what happened.
When people became, and I mean on a mainstream level, acquainted with the O'Donovan brothers in 2016, I think what the first emotion was kind of, are these guys for real? Is this the real character of the lads? When they were listening to their post-race interviews in Rio de Janeiro, I think what you've said there, their entire mentality, and you can throw Fintan straight into there as well, yeah, that mentality of just going from A to B, I think the way they race is almost proof that their chilled out nature is absolutely authentic. My question to you is, why is that authentic? Why is that the way that they are? How have they managed to shut out all the noise, shut out all the hype, and actually be one of these really strange sporting moments where they're fully layered on with hype, but they've managed to deliver on all that hype and that expectation?
I think it has to come back with, you know, I think Dominic has done a great job with them. I think they really realized at a very early stage, they understood at an early stage that it's really, they can't control anybody else. They need to focus on themselves. They need to focus on good rowing. And rowing is a sport that you can do that. You're really not impeded by the opposition at all, clearly. And I think Dominic has really, really honed that. And I think really when you get really, really good coaches like Dominic who make you know what's important. And the really important things about rowing, and the boys have it down to a T, and Dominic's drilled this into them, is control those, live those small little moments in every single stroke. Don't get beyond that moment. Think about the last moment. Just be in those moments. Optimize every moment that you possibly can to go as fast as you can, and understand any deflection, any distraction outside of that, any thinking about media, thinking about, I mean, most of these guys, Paul especially, isn't even on social media. You know, kind of, you won't see him, you can't find him anywhere. He doesn't get distracted by anything, and he's really kept his world, especially Paul's, kept his world really, really small, and he's done that for a reason. And the reason is not to be distracted, to stay in those critical moments that really optimize his performance, and that's why they're so successful, clearly.
And Niall, you mentioned the German performance earlier on, and it was up to a point, obviously, very dominant. The thing that stood out for me was after the race where the Germans were so ecstatic that they'd finished second. Obviously, yeah, even everybody within the sport knows how good these two guys are, and to run them close in itself is an achievement almost.
Yeah, I think, like, listen, like we're sitting here this morning and we look at the medal table. Just to give you an idea of where Ireland and how difficult it is for these big countries who have millions and millions of pounds going into rowing. Ireland is level with China this morning in the Olympic medal table for rowing, with very few races to go. We're ahead of Great Britain. We're ahead of Canada. We're ahead of Germany. we're ahead of Russia. So just to give that, gives you an idea how important that medal was. I think that was their first German medal, if I'm right. That was the first medal for Germany. So a hugely important medal for Germany. They may win the eights, they may not win the eights. We don't know. But just to put it in context, level with China, ahead of US, Canada, Great Britain. They were having an absolute mare of a regatta. And so just give you the context. So the Olympic medals are really, really hard to come by, and they're hard fought. And we have some of the, you know, financially, I'm talking about the cheapest medals out there, if you like. So that's the excitement from the German crew. And also, I think they probably realized they gave the boys as hard a run as they did all in the last 2 years. They were overlapping them at the end, which was, I suppose, a surprise for Roman and Osborne.
What's your understanding of the relationship between the two lads? I was listening to some of the interviews, like you were saying there, and reading some of the quotes this morning, and Fintan was talking about there was a few grunts and there was a few shouts coming from his angle. What's your understanding of how this relationship has built up over the last couple of years, and how it functions, I suppose?
I think it's very businesslike. I think clearly when you have a big squad of people and you know, it's very matter of fact. It's very business. We're here to do the business on the water. Clearly, Paul, you'll always have somebody who's a little bit more dominant, and clearly Paul has the kudos, and he's probably a little bit more dominant within the crew in that respect. I think but Fintan, you know, knows how to hold his own as well. That's very, very clear. And you know, if you're going to row with somebody with such a pedigree of Paul, you know, you have to stand up to the plate. It makes you a better athlete. To sit beside Paul every day and watch him perform at the level he does on the ergon in the gym, that pulls the best out of you every day. And obviously, Fintan has to come up to that mark, not just physically, but had to grow mentally to match Paul in all of those areas. And you know, he needs to, you know, Paul is dominant, but you have to have there has to be respect between the two people, and certainly Fintan has earned and gained that got respect. There's no question about that. But you know, sitting behind Paul must be absolutely phenomenal. It must be terrifying at times because he goes. I can't imagine what it's like in the belt seat. When Paul goes, you have to go with him, and he is operating at a different level from anybody else, and you have to hang in, and not to say that Fintan is purely hanging in, but it must be great to be rowing in front of him, and it must be also a bit little bit scary.
They don't show it. If it is, they definitely don't show it.
No, they definitely don't show it.
You were, as somebody who competed, I think, in Olympics, now, if I'm right, at the age of 34, Paul would be 30 going into the next one. Obviously, Fintan would be younger again, and the other lads coming through, like, who knows where they're at in 3 years' time. But in terms of future prospects now for these lads, this is not over by a long shot.
No, it's not over by a long shot. There's a little caveat. I mean, we're looking at 2024 Paris, three months away, is possibly going to be the last time that we have lightweights in the Olympics. Okay, so it'll be the last hurrah for that crew, if you like. Now we don't know. I mean, the suggestions that Coastal Rowing will take those lightweight slots. So yes, it will be the last row. From a Rowing Ireland point of view, we're definitely going to have to pivot in this kind of next Olympiad and beyond to more heavyweight rowing, you know, to fill that gap. But certainly, I mean, certainly Fintan hasn't even reached his prime. Paul is not going anywhere. He's only going to get better. He's only going to get more confident, even more brutal, if that's possible. Again, you don't know whether Gary's going to come back in. That's going to be interesting to see the journey of overall the whole squad of lightweights. Can they put it up? Can somebody put it up to Paul and Fintan? It's a very, very competitive environment in Cork, clearly. It's getting the best out of all the athletes. But, yeah, there's definitely another Olympiad in these guys, and possibly the last one from a lightweight perspective.
That's interesting to hear. I presume, just the last one for me, Niall, I presume that the Irish rowing world is alight this morning, that your phone has happened, while the rest of us who dip into this every couple of years and say how phenomenal the lads are and sure aren't they great characters and all that sort of stuff, you're living and breathing this every day of the year. I presume that the rowing community this morning is alight and delighted.
We're just super proud. I mean, we know everybody is embedded in the sport. Everybody knows how difficult it is just to be at even rowing at a novice level is quite a commitment. We're just super proud of the system. I think everybody feels a part. Genuinely, the community is so small, guys, that everybody feels a genuine connection to the guys. The guys are very open. The whole squad is very open. We all feel a part of the medal. Literally a part of the medal, and because the community is so small, and we're all just immensely proud. We couldn't be pleased for the rowing. It's great for our sport, for everybody to see it on the telly, if you like, and see how wonderful it is. And we're just made up. We're absolutely made up, and it's it's not only this moment, but all of the small moments that are to come, and welcoming all of those new people who want to try the sport. I think you'll find rowers have a real passion, a real love for the sport, and to be able to welcome new people to the sport and give them the experience of rowing, which is such a wonderful sport to be involved in. I think everybody's looking forward to that, and there's going to be a lot of people in coffee and water coolers asking, yeah, you do a bit of rowing. Yeah, I do a bit of rowing. What do you think of the boys? And this general conversation is we're all looking forward to having, you know.
How much of that manifests itself in a real growth at grassroots level after Rio? Because you'd assume that if that was a true thing that happened, then what's going to happen over the next few months is going to be even bigger again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've evolved in coaching myself, and it was hard coaching with coping with the volume of the people coming through in Rio. You could see the effect it had on the senior team, the results in Rio. And I think what we're mostly excited about, you know, we can explain the boys, it's respectfully to the NRC, to the National Rowing Centre, it still is a skid boat, and everybody feels like it's a skid boat. Even though it's based in the National Rowing Centre, the girls are really very significant. The girls' bronze is hugely significant from that perspective, because we have Galway, we have Cork, and we have Dublin represented in that. And that's super exciting. In my own club, I know we have a bunch of really, really talented girls. And for them to be able to hang out with Emer Lamb, who's in the four, I can't tell you what a big effect that's going to have on the sport. We're definitely in a new era for Irish sport, especially on the women's side, for Irish rowing, especially on the women's side. And I just can't wait to see the amount of especially young girls. And it's really, really important as a father to a young girl. It's really, really important that they have these really strong role models. And Emer's an exceptional role, as all the girls are in that four. So I think we're really excited about the girls' side of the sport. It's going to be great to see. And then girls, they improve a lot quicker than the guys. Hopefully we can see people coming into the sport inspired by the four and get more people through in Paris, yeah.
Just to circle back to the point you're saying, obviously when it comes to the women's four, they're obviously their event is in no immediate danger whatsoever. But
no,
I mean, the fact that the gold medal that Ireland have got is in immediate danger. And in fairness, we were chatting to Kieran McCarthy yesterday, and he was saying it's actually lucky to be in Paris. Is there some sort of Katie Taylor-esque campaign on the behalf of Irish rowing that could save it again beyond 2024? Because as you say, Niall, it does alienate a type of rower, a smaller type of rower, from reaching the Olympic Games, which, let's face it, is always going to be the pinnacle of this sport. It is the way a lot of people get into the sport, and it is what inspires a lot of people. To not have that role model, to not have that lightweight role model, it's not just going to be detrimental to Irish rowing, it's rowing in general. So surely there's some sort of argument to be put forward.
Broadly, the lightweight community have been fighting this for a very, very long time. It seems like a tide that's kind of just very, very hard to turn. It looks like it's set to change. I mean, you know, lightweights have been lobbying to stay in the Olympics and really hard. I mean, it was tough getting in, and it seems to be hard staying in. I think, again, as a lightweight, you have to be a 70 kilo average for the crew. And if you look at the other crews, the heavyweight crews, they're well over 90 kilos, 95 kilos, some of them 100 kilos. So especially for countries with kind of maybe smaller populations, it really excludes rowing completely for them. So it is a problem from a sport that is trying to reach into, like, it, you know, pertains to be a global sport, you know, to be cutting off almost half the globe to the sport with what is essentially, if you're not 90, 100 kilos, you can't enter the sport as a heavyweight in the open category. And people can say, yes, but there's lightweights doing well at the Olympics. They are the exception, and they're not the main. And it does close off the sport to a lot of people. We will, as lightweights, as a community of lightweights, we will fight tooth and nail to keep it in. But again, it's the coastal rowing seems to be this kind of sexy, kind of more kind of dynamic, kind of like TV-based kind of sport. And I think they want to get it in to kind of get the eyeballs up. But it's going to be, it will, yeah, we'll do our best. We'll fight as hard as we can. We'll roll up our sleeves. But it's going to be very hard to turn the tide on it. And unfortunately, at least we'll get another medal out of it, one or two medals out of it, please God, and milk it for what we can.
On Sunita Pospure then, Niall, just before we wrap up, obviously desperately disappointing for her overnight. Was it simply just not a good enough start for her?
Hugely disappointing. Like I cannot tell you how cruel this sport is. I mean, how cruel sport is. I'm absolutely devastated for Sunita. You know, she's one of the forebearers for women's rowing in Ireland. It's almost hard to talk about it this morning. And you know, if you look at the four, for instance, most of the four wouldn't have been rowing when Sunita did her first Olympics back in 2012. And it must have been very difficult for Sunita sitting in her room with all of that year, all of that grind, all of that grunt, and watching, you know, what is a very short success curve for that four, and then having to go out and kind of slay all the demons of all her previous Olympics. She looked very, very nervous at the start. I didn't like the water for her. It's a nasty little chop across the top of the water. I know it's the same for everybody. She doesn't really row that well in rough water, I don't think, from what I've seen in all her races. So it's devastating. And just on that point, if you talk about the cruelty of the sport, if you look from the point of view as if you take that stat about the girls and Sunita, and you think of the fact that Gary was probably in the air when the guys was flying back to Japan, when flying back to Ireland, when the guys were winning their medal, it's absolutely brutal. Sunita, again, I'm really devastated for her. And she will be good at today, clearly. Gamelin, the Swiss girl, Chan, the Chinese girl, and the Dutch girl, I can't think of her name, but they haven't beaten her in maybe 2-3 years. And to be beaten by competition that you know that you have, and especially in the single, because it's such a psychological game in the single. Once you get once you get your foot on somebody's neck in the single, you can have it there for years. And she didn't execute well enough, and that's really gutting for her. She's slow off the start, but she didn't get going at all in the race. I don't know whether it was pressure or nerves. I'm just really devastated for her. The whole rowing community is devastated for her. People wanted, she was probably a year maybe too late for her. This time last year, she had Olympic gold, and that was it. She was streets ahead of everybody else. It might have been a year too late for Sunita. She's 39. I hope, and if she's listening, Sunita, please go on to Paris. I would like to see her maybe in a four or a prayer. Get out of the single. She's been 15 years in the single, which is absolutely brutal. Get out of the single, get into the four, get yourself a medal in Paris and retire. But hang on for 3 more years, Sunita, please, because we think you're awesome, and we want to see you in the sport, and we want to get you what you truly deserve, is that Olympic medal. So a big shout out to Sunita today. I hope she's feeling okay.
You think she'll still have it in 3 years?
I think she still has it. Think she's 39 now, but I think she's 42. By the way, just to give you an idea, she's a machine. I mean, all of the girls train with and together, okay? And if you're, again, not just like Paul, if you're sitting on the wrong machine or lifting weights with Sunita and you're in the four, she's making you both go places in training that you've never been before. She is the bar setter from a physiological point of view. She is the bar that everybody tries to reach within rowing Ireland. How far are you off Sunita is the question the girls would be asking themselves. So so she had a big effect on that four, absolutely 100%, and the women's group in general. So even if she lost 1 or 2% over the next 3 years, she still has the bandwidth to get into any crew boat. I hope she gets out of the single. I really do. I think another 3 years in the single would be very difficult for her, especially carrying the Olympics, Tokyo with her. And I hope she gets into a crew boat. and gets the medal that she truly deserves. I hope she stays going. And if she will, if she still, again, if she loses a couple of percentage points, she's still going to be good enough in 3 years' time. So please God, she'll stay going. She obviously needs time to reflect, her and Jasper and Casper, and get together as a family and see how that works for her. She also needs to get herself, a bit more balanced, a bit more stuff going on in her life, maybe a career, more career focused, more education. But I know that's something that she's been doing for the last number of years. Maybe she has some balance, get into a crew boat and go for Paris. That would be my suggestion. Unbelievable.
Niall, it's always a pleasure listening to you talk about rowing. It's been a night of mixed fortunes, I think it's fair to say. Thanks, at the end. But what a moment it was for Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
Niall O'Toole, three-time Irish Olympian there on the line with us. It is 8:15 on this Thursday morning. You're with us here on OTBAM, which is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. We got a packed show still to come for you. We'll hear from James Skehill next as we talk hurling.